What is that?
Okay.
5, 6, 7 light.
You guys ever seen anything like this before?
That's one object.
Whoa!
That's definitely not a plane.
What do you think that was?
I'm David Twitchell. Join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will separate the facts from the fiction. We are not alone. Only on WHFR.FM. It's 89.3 FM. That's the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. We are not alone.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the WHFR Journal. My name is Alan Mazurek. Susan McGraw is with me today for another edition of things going on in our community, things going on our campus, and just sort of keeping you up to date on things we think you should know about. So let's just jump in, Susan. We made it through Thanksgiving weekend. The first snow of the year. And, now we're sort of in this, this little gray zone here for the next few weeks, I guess, where both you and I are, you know, getting ready for the end of the semester, but also the holiday season to follow. And, it's going to be, quite an interesting one. We still don't know exactly, just when we think that we're out of the woods with, restrictions and things like that, you know, something else comes up and pops up on the radar. So it's, really been an interesting couple of years, but I think everyone is looking forward to this one. And we've got hopefully today to talk about a lot of great things going on in the next few weeks as we start to work our way towards the end of the year holiday season. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you got it, Alan. And a happy post Thanksgiving weekend to you as well. I feel an energy. I do. There is just some kind of new energy in the air that I suppose we didn't quite get to feel this way last year, but people are safely getting out and enjoying things. The holiday, the Thanksgiving holiday, was just tremendous. It's kind of like a renewal of spirit. I think the snow on Saturday just kind of made it sort of magical. To me, it was like a magical start to the season, which is always a wonderful feeling, at least for me. I know we've got those, I call them snow duds, who are like, no snow. And I'm like, yay, snow, you know. But we are very excited to talk about so many events that have returned this year, as well as others that are a mainstay in our community. And we have been fortunate to carry over from year to year. But we want to keep it local. Of course, that's what we are, WHFR Radio. We are here for our local community, unlike any other broadcast station that, you know, has to cover the bigger areas of Metro Detroit. Right. We get to focus on Dearborn Heights. And boy, do we have some hardworking people behind the scenes putting some really exciting events together. A couple have already been going on and others are making their way into the picture here in the next week or so. So let's jump in, as you indicated. Downtown Dearborn is an organization that really, their mission is to promote and get people excited about all of the things happening in the downtown area. So we have decided to bring in the expert, the head honcho, if you will, of downtown Dearborn, Christina Shepherd Decius, who is really, I think, got the pulse of what's happening these days. And I'm sure she can feel the energy as well, because I'm sure this has been a long time in the making to get our exciting downtown Dearborn events moving forward. Holiday experiences that inspire is the sort of the theme. So inspiration is what it's all about this year. And Christina, we're very excited to welcome you for the first time to our WHFR airwaves. And we know you've got a lot to talk about. So whether it's a shopping small or getting into Winterfest, we know there are opportunities in the community we want to let our listeners know about. And that's why you're here. So welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks for having me, too.
Certainly. Shop Small, Dearborn Shop Small has been going on here for a little while now. And tell us a little bit about what you've witnessed the past week or so, kicking off just after Thanksgiving, and then also what's yet to come with that concept of keeping it local, keeping the finances local in Dearborn for Dearborn businesses.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we have done this for a number of years, and it's really to drive people to keep it local, to love your local businesses, because your businesses are your friends, are your neighbors, are the people who really reinvest in your community. And that is, you know, why we, you know, feel so strongly the way we do in terms of promoting Shop Small during this time. You know, American Express, when they kicked this off over 10 years ago now, it was like that aha moment that everyone went, yeah, how come we haven't been doing this more often, right? And I think it was, you know, it's that day of celebration of our local small businesses. And, you know, this past weekend, we did kick it off with a great new event that we were hosting in our East Downtown area, where we had Santa come in, we had photos, we had reindeer. And then as well, we have over 30 businesses offering deals and discounts to take advantage of those great ideas and gifts that you can find in local small businesses. And I think the most rewarding thing about shopping local is the fact that you really do get that personal customer service, and they know you, they get to know you, and they want to. So, you know, they want to help you find that very special gift, whether it's for a loved one or a neighbor or a friend. And, you know, they will even, you know, go above and beyond to be able to help you find that and get that to you. So, you know, many of our businesses, like I mentioned, they're offering deals and discounts that started on Saturday, and it'll go through December 5th. We also have a QR code at each of the participating businesses that you can scan and enter to be put into a raffle drawing where we have gifts and gift cards from local businesses. So a lot of great opportunities to get out there, shop, and some incentive to do it a little bit. You know, you could win something. And, you know, we're really excited to, you know, get people into downtown Dearborn if they haven't experienced it yet. But for those of us who are there all the time, yes, you can absolutely feel that pulse of everything's kind of growing and getting more vibrant. A lot more businesses over this past year. We had over 30 new businesses open in our downtowns, which is amazing considering this year that we've had, or year plus, right? And, you know, that's, you know, another reason just to get out there, find something new, something special. And there's so much fun, great stuff happening, both in terms of our shops and our restaurants. And then as well as a lot of our events and festivities, again, are returning this year. And even though we've had to modify them slightly over the last year, but we're really excited to be able to bring this back and do it in full mode. Full holiday mode.
Yay.
Christina, you've mentioned, okay, downtown Dearborn. So Dearborn. So first let's define that. And then you kind of made that slip and said our downtowns, which kind of gets to that like unnecessary historical division between, you know, one half of the city and the other half of the city. What, you know, how does your organization approach that? And how do you define downtown Dearborn?
Right. So, yes, and that is always, it is hard. If you've been here for a long time as a resident, you know East and West downtown. But as someone who might be outside of Dearborn, you just know of Dearborn. And so, you know, that is really our tactic in trying to promote downtown Dearborn as one whole and growing towards that as well. So while we might not be physically connected in every single way that we would like to at this point in the way that we envision, we do have a vision for how we will be one whole downtown Dearborn, both physically, emotionally, and socially. I think we're getting there socially, which is great. I love it. I think the emotions are actually really starting to kick in too, where I see so many more businesses and residents really, you know, getting behind this idea and this plan as to how we are one community. And, you know, our goal as an organization is to really to promote the vibrancy of downtown Dearborn for all people to enjoy. And, you know, we work in a variety of ways to do that. Not only our events and our promotions that you see, but we also provide a lot of the physical improvements that you see in the downtown. We help to support businesses with physical improvements to their buildings, as well as streetscape improvements that you'll see in the downtown. And then, of course, you know, this time of year, holiday decor. So... you know, we have over 50,000 lights being put up in the downtown, and, you know, we're doing our darndest to really light up the downtown.
Yeah. What would you say would be the, and I don't know if you're good with streets or not, but just kind of as you identify that 50,000 lights, where they're going to kind of go, can you give us like roads, like what you consider this starts it, this ends it kind of a thing? And I know it certainly trickles beyond that, but how would you, you know, on a map parameter?
Yeah. So Michigan Avenue and, you know, our West Downtown, it's the DDA district itself. So we're, you know, a downtown development authority. So we have a very specified district that was established, you know, back in the late 70s via a state law that allowed government to be able to create a district that reinvests its tax dollars back into that district itself. So those boundaries still exist, but the boundaries that we're really trying to work towards is connecting all of Michigan Avenue from, you know, Military down to Oakman and everything in between. We're also as an organization making sure that we're trying to reach out beyond those borders too, right? So we're working hard to make partnerships with folks like you, Henry Ford College, right? Mm-hmm. As well as those at the Henry Ford.
Henry Ford College, we're like Switzerland. We're like immediately in between both halves of Dearborn, right? We're neutral territory, I guess.
Well, you know, and it's a hard physical connection because of roads and walkability. And those are things that we're looking at to really try to improve those connections. And do that physically, but also, you know, to be able to, you know, honestly, to be on your show today is really, you know, it's a great honor because this is another way for us to be able to try to connect in a non-physical way, but in a, you know, very emotional, social way where we can engage your listeners, but also the students to really be a part of our community. We're always looking for ways to have partnerships and engage people in the process of developing and growing our downtown.
Yeah, thank you. Christina Shepherd Decius is joining us today. We're talking about downtown Dearborn. We're talking about the holiday season and so many opportunities for you to reconnect after what has been a very difficult year plus in our community. Some people have had the pleasure of serving on different organizations and committees and boards and things, which I know are very active in Dearborn. So many service clubs and things like that that I know are involved in helping to promote holiday cheer and the holiday season and support for those less fortunate other nonprofits. But we can't forget the challenges that the for-profit businesses have had, certainly, over these couple of years, too. And I have to say, Christina, that is quite a coup. That's got to be some kind of a record, opening 30 new businesses in Dearborn in the past, you know, year or so. That's tremendous. So what that means to me is that this community is not only very welcoming, as we know that's the case, but also doing a lot of other things right for making good business sense. Business owners, you know, that's their baby and they're not going to just put it anywhere, you know, to sit and just be out there. So so that really suggests to me that the infrastructure of what you're getting when you are a business in the Dearborn area, particularly the downtown area, is a successful and proven model and that it works. So that's pretty exciting. And then when we get into bringing people in for that community vibe, that community energy, we certainly know that Dearborn has been known for that, you know, certainly in recent years for just having that that sense of you're one of us, you know, you're in the community, you are Dearborn, as many of my older Dearbornites say, they call it Dearborn, not Dearborn. So we've got the Dearborn people, then we've got the newer Dearborn people coming in and making this their home. So it's all kind of aligning properly, I think. And I'm curious as to how you have noticed, how long you've been working with downtown Dearborn and what you've noticed by way of maybe trends or sort of that touchy-feely vibe thing going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, and I've been here, I think, six years now. So I do start to lose track because of COVID. So, from when I started to where we're at now, you can definitely feel that desire and that need to really grow and reinvest and keep it in Dearborn. And I think that, and I'm going to say Dearborn because now you said it, I think it's always been there, but it needed to be reinvigorated. And that is really what I'm seeing. And when we kind of shook that tree, you know, great things started happening and, you know, showing paths for business owners, property owners and residents as to how they can really be a part of that and make that change happen. As well as our large businesses who are, you know, putting, you know, dollars behind it and people behind it too. All of it is what makes it work. By us working and partnering together, that has been, I think, the most significant change that I've seen since I've started. I remember we used to start with a small group of people for our Dearborn business leaders meetings every other Friday. That was, you know, it was the impetus of what are we going to do about our downtown? And I stepped in and I'm like, wow, what is this group? I'm like, we need to really harness these people to really step forward and be an active part of what we're doing. And that's just it. It's grassroots. And I love the energy. I love the people. Every day is always a new adventure too.
Well, there's something to be said for, you know, being a, what I guess, quote unquote, great big, quote unquote, small town, right? When it comes to your businesses and the downtown area. This is the WHFR Journal. We are speaking with Christina Shepherd-Decius about events going on here in the city of Dearborn over the holiday season. Now, I know that a lot of the information is available at the website downtowndearborn.org, but we do have a couple of things we want to shed a little spotlight on. Obviously, we are wrapping up, this weekend, the Shop Small event, and then another one coming up next weekend, Saturday the 11th, the Winterfest Market. Let's sort of recap the Shop Small and what is still going on. And you mentioned dozens upon dozens of restaurants, businesses, places for people to go. Let's recap that, and then we'll move on to the Winterfest thing.
Okay, great. Yeah, so Shop Small. We want you to be able to get out there, shop small, and win big. So we have over 30 businesses who are providing deals and discounts that you can take advantage of this season through December 5th. But as you're doing that, don't forget to look for the QR code at their point of sale and scan that QR code to enter yourself in to potentially win some gift certificates from our local businesses. as well as then our Winterfest Market on December 11th from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. That event will be a great festivity to get out with your family. We'll have photos with Santa. We also have breakfast with Santa. We'll have reindeer there. We also have some live performances and music performances from a number of different artists. We will also have well over 30 vendors that will be providing gifts and opportunities to shop even more local to our crafters, our artisans within our community that don't have a bricks and mortar location to be able to come out. We'll have a large tent over on West Village Drive and between Mason and Monroe Street. So
that was going to be my next question. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, please. Continue.
Yeah. Location, 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 right? So where do you go? So yes, it's on West Village Drive between Mason and Monroe Street, right behind Wagner Place, the new development there with a lot of those great new businesses that are in town. And we'll be under the big tent. So it'll be heated. You'll enjoy yourself because you'll be warm inside. And we're excited because last year we couldn't have as many vendors because of the spacing requirements. And the tent probably wasn't quite as warm because we had to have a certain number of openings throughout it too. So this year, obviously, we can be a little bit closer knit. We're still going to be very much using safety protocols, knowing that, it's always a change, moving target, especially this time of season. But we have a lot of great activities for the family. And the one other thing that I did want to mention with that, we have Jimmy John's Field bringing their batting cages out, which I know that sounds like really odd for the winter season, but so fun. Come out, hit some baseballs and see what you can do against some other baseball fanatics out there. There's a chance to win free tickets to some of their upcoming games in the 2022 season as well.
Wow. It sounds like just a variety of opportunities for people of all ages to get involved in some capacity or another. And that's what this community event is about. That's the point of it, really, is to come out one and all and have something to do that everyone can be engaged in. I know that, as a local radio station, of course, we promote continuously local music, local artists, local nonprofits as well. And what we do very much enjoy about pretty much every Dearborn event, and Alan, you know, we've talked about this, is that there's always some component of live music going on. And, we're very big young people today, they just haven't seen much live local music performed, so we're always thrilled when you incorporate that aspect, because to me, it's just so magical as being able to see a singer-songwriter or a small band or something performing at an event like this. It's like the Hallmark movies, We get to do it here. Yeah, I love it. Just love it. So thank you.
Absolutely. And performances that we would definitely know that we'll be seeing that day, Susie Marsh and King Spells, as well as Anissa Lee. So those two are some great performers, and we're really looking forward to having them out there during the day. And it is an opportunity that if there is someone else within your audience that would love to be a part of any of our upcoming events and festivities and really showcase their own work of art or their music, right? To contact us, because we love to be able to incorporate those local artisans and performers into what we do, because that's what makes Dearborn.
And this is specifically the Downtown Dearborn Winterfest Market. Takes place next Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. At Wagner Park, West Village Drive between Mason and Monroe Street. A lot of activities. Santa's going to be there. We're going to have an opportunity to hit some baseballs. We'll have some live music. Reindeer are going to be there, and even a gift wrapping station as well. Place to get all of those gifts that perhaps you have decided are the perfect one for somebody you know, and all sorts of other activities as well. That information all available at downtowndearborn.org, and obviously other events and things going on through the Downtown Dearborn organization available there, specifically looking as we head into the springtime, and maybe we'll have to come back and talk about some of those things at another time as well, because there's lots going on, obviously.
There is.
And you know, Christina, I'm always interested in finding out how people sort of get to where they are, and especially when they're in a capacity that is sort of meant for, like, dream job, kind of like, you know, meant to be. This is my calling. This is my thing. I have read, I understand you have a bit of a background in this kind of stuff, but tell us a little bit about what drew you to this kind of work and helping you really be so good, you know, so very good at what you're doing, because these events don't plan themselves. You know, this doesn't happen just magically. And we recognize that fully.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, I think first and foremost, it's always been more rewarding for me to be able to work for a nonprofit, for a group that is really giving back in some sort of way. And, you know, I've done that in different capacities with other organizations throughout my career. But I have now over 20 years, and it's that hurts to say it, over 20 years of experience.
Yeah, you'll get used to it.
I know. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. Yeah, with downtown development. And, you know, I want to say I fell in love with it. And, you know, I found that when I was, I live in Ferndale currently. And when I was really looking to maybe transition to my next career, this one kind of like jumped into my lap in a weird way. You know, I was reading a newspaper and literally went, huh, this person's leaving. This sounds like a lot like what I do, but it sounds so cool and fun to be able to work with businesses and really do something for your community. And, you know, as I got into it, I learned there was a lot more to it than just that. You know, like I said, I think every day is an adventure. I wear so many different hats that I probably couldn't even tell you all the hats that are in my wardrobe, you know, from, you know, being a planner to an architect to a marketer to a fundraiser to, you know, you name it. I think, you know, the greatest thing, though, is that I can sit back and I can see that I've left an imprint, and that is what drives me to keep doing it every day. Because even those days that are really frustrating and hard, it's, you know, how do you get back up, right? And it's that keeps me going. It's the people that are brought into this, and hopefully I've inspired them to do, you know, take it the same way I take it, that this is a dream goal to be able to revitalize and sustain a community in a way that really, you know, is a place that everyone is so proud to call home. And to be able to bring this to Dearborn, I know that it was, you know, for probably those who are in my circle of friends, they were like, what, you're leaving where you were to go to another community to try to do this again? And I'm like, yep. Because, you know, I like a challenge.
So. Well, and speaking of challenges, I was going to say, are there any, you know, sort of unique challenges, certainly at this point in time, when we think about a downtown, traditionally, it's always been sort of like a business hub. We mentioned Wagner Place. Ford Motor Company spent a lot of money investing in these office developments, and we find ourselves in a world where a lot of people are working from home. Does that sort of change the game a little bit in terms of how you think of it?
Yes. And in unique ways. I mean, I think in terms of those who are now working from home, gives us even more reason as to finding opportunities to include more housing development within our downtowns, because we want people to work and live right in our downtown, right? And that, because those individuals who work right within it or live right within it, they're patronizing those local businesses more frequently than, you know, somebody who might be, you know, 10, 20 miles away, right? But the neighborhoods that abut our downtown as well are huge parts to what we do to, you know, for our reach out to those neighbors and to get them involved in really shaping what they want to see in their downtown as well. Because we know that you're literally your steps away from supporting and growing that downtown district. I think the other thing for us, it has shifted how we do some of our work as well, you know, internally. And can we do more things more remotely, more mobile? And, you know, even like this year for the Shop Small program, we're using those QR codes for a way to enter to win as opposed to filling out a printed out passport that we used to do and drop it in a box. Because more people are mobile now. And, you know, whereas before we were hesitant to make that huge shift. This changed it. We've just now jumped in full bore. So it definitely has changed, has some challenges that we've all faced. I think one of the best things that I can say is that, the businesses in Dearborn have, faced it and they are overcoming those issues, that, you know, when it first kicked off in terms of the pandemic. And all of us were very scared at that point. But, you know, we have come so far and I've seen a tremendous growth and so proud of the business owners and residents who continue to support our community.
Well, Christina Shepherd-Decius, we'll give you one more chance to talk the praises of our local businesses because, you know, it's so easy to just, you know, make a few clicks and send some money to somebody who's going to send William Shatner into space. What makes all of this so important for building a community and obviously sing their praises as much as you'd like?
Oh, yeah. So I think that one of the things that I always want to drive home with people is when you shop local, you are literally, you're supporting your friend, your neighbor, coworker down the street, because those businesses and those property owners reinvest in the community. That growth then tends to grow outside of that. So, you know, when you're focused on a certain area, what you'll see is when that area, that heart of your community is growing and beating and doing well, it then grows to all facets of the community. And that's why downtowns are so important and why downtown businesses are so important. So get out there, shop local, support our local businesses. They live next to you. They probably are standing next to you in lines at other businesses as well. So, you know, that's all I can say for this holiday season is that to love your local.
Aw, that's fantastic. You know, and not to mention that it's good stuff. I mean, we don't even have to go into
then there's that. Yeah.
Quality stuff. You know, I'll just leave that at that. I'll leave that there. Christina Shepherd-Decius, such a pleasure to get to know you a little better today. And for those that have worked with you and have gotten to know you over the years that you've been in your position, I am sure that is a testament to why we are brimming with success with not only the Shop Small event, but the Winterfest Market, which is forthcoming. So we thank you for your time today. We wish you the happiest of seasons. I know you'll rest maybe, you know, when Santa rests on the 26th, but all the best in between that time too.
Thanks. You too as well.
For more information on all of the events going on in downtown Dearborn, downtowndearborn.org is your website. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. We have been so pleased to have Christina Shepherd-Decius as our first guest on today's program. And, you know, Susan, I just was thinking, you know, I mentioned at the beginning as we head into the holiday season, of course, we are in the midst of a holiday season right now. Hanukkah, of course, beginning last Sunday, continues through Monday as well. So we want to at least recognize that and acknowledge it for our listeners as well, that we are in the midst of this holiday season instead of, you know, thinking, okay, we got Thanksgiving, then this little gap before we get to, you know, the Christmas holiday as well. So,
Excellent point, Alan. And, you know, we've got a lot to celebrate for a number of reasons, and it's just fun being a part of it. And we know our community is lifting us up as much as we're trying to lift them up as well. So as I say, it is a win-win.
Indeed. Well, we'll celebrate some more in just a moment here on the WHFR Journal. We'll be back here on WHFR.FM 89.3, Making Waves.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
Susan McGraw here along with Alan Mazurek as we are celebrating one of the most exciting times of season outwardly with our Dearborn community and the holiday events they've got going on. Internally at Henry Ford College, there is also a wonderful reason to celebrate, and that is the culmination of all of the amazing projects that students of the Henry Ford II Honors Program have created and are now going to be presenting on the Honors Symposium Day, which takes place a week from today, the 10th of February, or the 10th of, where did February come from? Of December. I jumped ahead a couple of months.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not, don't.
I know. Yeah. Too soon. Well, yeah. Alan, a little known fact maybe. I am a product of the Henry Ford College Honors Program from quite a few years ago. So I went through the program as an honors student, and it certainly helped me in multiple ways, not only to be able to afford to go to college from, you know, out of high school, but also of the people I met, the experiences I had, and the level and rigor of the academics that I was connected with. I like to think set me off on a good chart for success. And of course, as most things come full circle in life, now I get to talk about it with the new director of the Honors Program. So it's like, yay, here we are. So I'm really excited about this interview. And everyone I think that is involved in some capacity in academia at Henry Ford College knows how well respected and how important the Honors Program is. However, we thought we'd bring in the expert to give us just a little more inside scoop on exactly what this program does for so many students and really for the community at large. So we are joined at this time with the director of the Henry Ford Honors Program, Adam Hazlett. Adam Hazlett is joining us. And most people know Adam, I think, in other capacities as an instructor, as a very boisterous voice of reason on the campus of Henry Ford College. And I think this new hat that you are wearing, Adam, although you're always wearing really cool hats, I think this new hat suits you really, really, really well. So we want to welcome you to our airwaves. We want to look forward to getting some more information on the history of the program a little bit, and then let's lead up to what's happening next Friday. So welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Certainly. We can't have this discussion without paying tribute to the former head of the Honors Program, Dr. Mike Dare, who passed away this past year. Terribly tragic, terribly upsetting for all of us, of course, that knew and loved him and the students that he worked with. But talk about shoes to fill. Goodness gracious. We know there will never be another Mike Dare, but there doesn't necessarily have to be in this regard, because it's a change, a reinvigoration, and really, just a different vision for the Honors Program. And you are certainly carrying that torch well so far. So tell us about what it was like to kind of step in when you did, and how that process has gone for you.
Okay, thanks. I've been working at Henry Ford now since the early 2000s, so about two decades, and have been involved with the Honors Program in one way or another, off and on, that entire time, teaching, mentoring, even just, working with honor students. But, it's been, as you said, big shoes to fill, as Dr. Dares and Dr. Abrahams before him and the other directors, there are buildings with their names on them. So it is a little intimidating. But it is an amazingly storied program with, massively successful alumni. I mean, I'm you're one of them. So it's seriously, it's just one of those responsibilities that reluctantly I wasn't sure if I was able to take on the challenge. And then I kind of looked at myself and looked at the school, and my wife always jokes that if I ever leave her, I'll leave her for Henry Ford College. And that's kind of true. For me, it was kind of an easy fit. My background is in great books and great works and humanities. And that's what this program is all about. It's not a humanities program. It's not a science or an arts program. But it's about, my job is to help students achieve their academic, professional, and personal goals. I mean, it's like I joke, a lot and say that it's kind of like an academic professional Santa Claus, but it's true. It's my job is to help shepherd them into the future that they want. And it's the best job in the world. So, it's been intimidating, but it's also been very exciting.
Well, you've got the beard for it anyway, so that's the thing, the professional Santa Claus part. Had to do a holiday joke in there.
They can't see us. The people listening can't see us on Zoom, Susan, just to remind you.
Yeah. Painting a picture.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Radio is all about imagery, right?
Got it. Well, Adam, in the process of your ebb and flow with this program, as you indicated, so many wonderful people kind of coming before and still working alongside you in this capacity. And it really does take, a certain kind of spirit to be able to be willing to make this connection with students in this most profound way. And so many other former Honors Program students that I have talked to in recent years, they go back to when they talk about Henry Ford College. It's about the experience. They're not necessarily saying, I got this job, I got that job. That's what it did for me. And they did, but it's about that experience shaped me as a person, helped me know how to learn, and really impacted my life in different and profound ways outside of what the classroom experience you would think should be like. So we can't, we just have to at least acknowledge that whole formative shaping, molding kind of thing, as you mentioned a bit ago. It's there and it's real, and it's an experience that we want to provide for as many students that qualify, that we feel will be enriched by this. So how does that process work? How does someone get involved with the Honors Program? And what should we know to share that news with others?
Yeah, there are a couple different ways. The Honors Program is open to students, both current students and applying students. So if you're applying for even winter semester coming up in a month, you can apply still for the Honors Program. But we're looking for students with GPAs of 3.5 or better, so high school or college GPA. If you're in college currently, you know, we look that you at least have a semester under your belt. If you're a new student, the application's online. It's at hfcc.edu/honors. You can get the application there. At the moment, we've kind of suspended, at least for the current year, we have suspended the SAT scores, the requirement for the SAT scores, just because it's been problematic getting testing. So we're going to be revisiting that. But right now we're looking for 3.5 or better. We're looking for students that are interested in learning beyond, as you said, learning beyond the classroom, because being an honors student is not just about going to class. It is about the experience with your fellow students and the faculty. And so you will fill out an application. And then with the application, there's obviously some essays talking about your goals, your, you know, what you hope to achieve and how we might be able to help you achieve that. And then you and I sit down and we talk. We talk about your goals. We talk about your ideas, what you want to do, if the honors program can help you. And then, you know, we get you taking classes. That's the plan, and get the support. And, I always tell them, I'm not a safety net. I'm a pillow. You know, you will hit the ground, but you may not break your back. And in college, a lot of times, it is a test of can you get back up? It's not so much what you know, it's who you are. And I think the honors program works to help solidify some of those soft skills, some of those experiences that we don't think about as educational or academic, but they're formative. And so I think they're very educational and academic. Again, I'm biased. I teach humanities. So, you know, I always go to the human experience as, the most important thing. And for me, giving those honors students, not just academic, you know, skills, but, giving them life skills, helping them understand, you know, even if it's what they don't want to do, I don't want to major in that. To me, that's the most important thing, that they start finding answers. Yeah.
You mentioned something that sort of led to something. All right. You mentioned your background in the humanities and the honors program. What types of disciplines become, you know, applicable when we talk about an honors program? Because obviously excellent. Here at HFC, we have a lot of different types of academic programs and obviously, you know, other types of programs that are more job related and things like that.
Yeah, any student can apply. We are taking students from any discipline. A lot of people think it's either a science or an art student, you know, the traditional college degrees, but I would like an honors welder. I would like, you know, I am open for any student in any discipline. The biggest issue is the requirement of honors credits, you know, and for some students that becomes restrictive, because you do have to take a colloquium class and a great works class. But those are, again, those are classes that I think are highly applicable to individuals. You know, we do have, from every college represented at the college right now, from tech, from business, from health careers, STEM, School of Liberal Arts. We have, you know, representation from all of those disciplines. And, you know, again, the biggest issue for students is the additional credits. And so for some trade and apprentice programs, it may not fit within their program, but I try my best, and I'm trying my best to even open up the program to other disciplines and get some other honors classes So, you know, opening it up into science and math and into health careers, and into even tech. Because obviously, you know, when we're looking at CIS and majors like that, those are big majors. And they're underrepresented in the honors program. So.
Dr. Adam Hazlett is our guest here on the WHFR Journal, and Susan McGraw and I are happy to be speaking with him. Let's talk about the Honor Symposium coming up next week, next Friday, a week from today here on the HFC campus.
Yeah. So the Honor Symposium, Friday, December 10th, 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. in the Andrew Mazzara building here on campus, and that's Building L. I'm here on campus in the atrium. We're going to be holding the Honor Symposium, which is kind of a celebration of student research. Every semester, second year honors students take on individualized research with a professor of their choosing in a discipline of their choosing. And they work one-on-one with that professor. Again, another great benefit of the honors program. They work one-on-one with that professor. And at the end of the semester, then they'll present their conclusions and their findings. And it's, I guess if the listeners remember the old science fairs, from back when they were in elementary school, walking around the gym and looking at everybody's presentations, very similar to that. Only, you know, it's college level research, college students, and we serve better treats and snacks, obviously, at college than we did in elementary school. And so, it's a way to interact with the students, for students to interact with faculty and community members, but to really see the kind of beneficial and life-changing research that these students are undertaking. And we've had some amazing projects. Sitting on my desk, I have pictures, photographs, imagery that a student created her own ink out of organic materials. Just fascinating. I'm looking for cures for Parkinson's disease from red green beans and wax beans and things. I mean, these students are brilliant and their minds and what. If they're free to explore what they're interested in, and that's what the honors program does, it's amazing to see what they come up with. So we have some projects that are looking at, art in Islam and the way in which, geometry plays in the idea. We've got, students looking at criminal justice reform. We have students that are looking at creating art themselves. So we've got the whole gamut here at in a week from now at the symposium. But this is something that we hold every semester as a way to really showcase and highlight, the wonderful work that these students do.
Is this open, Adam, to anybody, people in the community coming in?
Yes.
This as well?
Yes. This is an open event. Again, we're following all current campus protocols, but this is an open event, a community event. I hope in the future that this will be a much larger event, something that we can showcase even more student research and more student work. But for right now, in the current space that we have, we're looking at kind of expanding what we've done in the past. We've always had this honors symposium. But the idea of students interacting, with the audience, a little bit more is going to be new for them. So they used to get away. With not having to answer questions after their presentations. And I think they're going to be shocked at the amount of interaction that they do get. And for me, that's going to be the important thing, those soft skills, right? Being able to have an idea is one thing, but if you cannot communicate your brilliance to someone else, it will go unnoticed.
that's an amazing idea. Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of challenging, that's what, whatever the definition of a symposium is, right? Is that,
right.
You've got this idea, it gets challenged and you either succeed or fail in,
right.
defending it or bringing it out to a public. Yes.
Yeah. the dreaded Q&A. No, all good. When we talk about the, you know, you say you want to expand the symposium and new ideas for the honors program and so on. There is this component on any campus of sort of territorial space. The honors program has not had the best territorial space. I know we've got more people off campus than on campus right now, but we all hope, suspect, and know that that's going to shift back slowly but surely. So you have something in the works, and I want to call it the Honors Hub, but I'm sure there's a grander name coming down the pipe. But tell us about your vision for this, Adam.
No, the Honors Hub is the name for now, just because it is going to be the hub for the Honors Program. But yes, territory is always a problem. Anyone who went to any college knows that parking's an issue. The finding space in the library is an issue, right? And it's no different for faculty. But I'm a Game of Thrones fan. And so I, you know, diligently worked, to hone out a kingdom somewhere. No, I'm just kidding. it really was my first mission as, you know, as director is to find a permanent home. I've been on the Honors Council. I did two stints on the Honors Council prior to, and I know sitting on the executive, you know, sitting on the kind of advisory council and the frustration of trying to find a home, you know, we've been trying to find a permanent home for about a decade at the college, just because, you know, space is limited and as we grow and adapt at Henry Ford to changing, you know, careers, we add things that we didn't know existed 5 years ago, right? So the Honors Hub is going to be in the liberal arts building on the first floor. And it's not just going to be a learning space. It is going to be a classroom. It is going to be where the honor students will take their honors classes and meet with their mentors and whatnot. But it's going to be so much more than that. They're going to have workspace, breakout and group study space. There's a kitchenette that'll be available to them so that they can, you know, bring their lunch, leave their lunch, and know that it'll be there when they come back. You know, little human things like, you know, food security, those kinds of things. And also, I've been working with some disability and education experts to incorporate universal design in the space so that the space is accessible and inclusive for everyone. And so that we're also going to have a sensory breakout room, a room where students can mentally and emotionally and spiritually even recharge and go back. This is one of the kind of up and coming ideas in education, universal design, the idea that, you know, rather than having a ramp and stairs, you don't have two different, you know, separate entrances, you have one place. And that's not just for disability, that's for so many things. And so I'm really trying to make an all-inclusive home for the students, right? Because, you know, honors students already feel like this is their campus, that they feel that sense of ownership and that sense of pride. And to give them this space and the collaborative space to do it. So if you think of maker spaces, that's kind of what the idea of this is. And that's why the hub name is perfect. Because it's not just going to be a learning space. It's going to be a doing space. We're going to have a permanent home for University of Michigan Ann Arbor. We have a transfer bridges program with them. And right next to the director's office will be U of M. And then the next office is a student study room, a quiet study room. And then there's a loud study room. So, you know, I understand that there needs to be both. You know, it's going to be something that we haven't seen at our campus. And a lot of colleges around the country are just now starting to embrace. So we're really going to be on the cutting edge as far as 21st century learning space. And I'm super excited to bring it to Dearborn. I mean, super excited. This is a culmination of two decades for me. You know, when I was asked back in 2005, you know, what would have been my ultimate goal? And I said, well, if I ever win the lottery, I want to build a student center. I'm not there yet, but I'm trying to get close. there's method to my madness, but you know, these baby steps in making sure that the environment is suitable for you know, their growth and their education. That's kind of what I'm supposed to think about, all those little things. So that's what I'm trying to incorporate.
Well, a little bit of madness goes a long, long way sometimes. And it's great to be speaking with you today, Dr. Adam Hazlett, director of the Henry Ford II Honors Program here at Henry Ford College.
We'll be hosting the Honors Symposium December 10th from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. in the Andrew Mazzara ASEC building here on campus. Community, faculty, family, friends, everyone is welcome. Come help us celebrate our student research.
That's what it's all about. It's that holistic approach, and it really does come full circle when we have a chance to experience the product that that these students are presenting and sharing with our community. So we do encourage our listeners to participate, to get involved, to make a call, to reach out via email if you know someone or if you yourself feel that you could benefit from and qualify to be a part of this experience, this honors experience at Henry Ford College. Dr. Adam Hazlett, director of the program, would you please give us contact information? What's the best way to learn more about not only the event next Friday, but also to contact you or someone with the program?
The best way to contact me would be to email me at honors@hfcc.edu. That's H-O-N-O-R-S. That is also, if you go to hfcc.edu/honors, you will find the webpage. On there, you'll find all the application information, some various program information, transfer information, stuff like that. But if you send an email to honors@hfcc.edu, that's going to go directly to me. I will happily answer, your questions. If you do have any questions, I'm happy to meet with people as well, virtually, or in person, to discuss this, because we've already started the fall application season. I've enrolled 3 students already. And again, with the honors program, there are scholarship opportunities. So these are 3 students that are going full ride now, full tuition scholarship. And the deadline to make sure you get all those is April 15th. So they're going to, they're starting already. And I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see it.
Well, we look forward to seeing what kind of crew of students you're going to bring to sort of take HFC to the next level.
Excellent.
Dr. Adam Hazlett, it's been great to talk to you. You've been listening to the WHFR Journal. We're going to take a little honor symposium in the blues with Kitty Love coming up next here, taking us on a trip down Highway 61 here on WHFR, Making Waves.
I heard the COVID-19 vaccine
And the thing I heard about the vaccine...
Sure, but do we really know about the long-term effects?
Did you read that thing on the internet?
He heard from his cousin that they don't...
Okay, you're hearing a lot of talk about the COVID-19 vaccines these days. So how do you find out if getting vaccinated is right for you? By talking to someone you already trust, your doctor or healthcare provider. They'll answer your questions so you can decide what's best for you and your family. Go to GetVaccineAnswers.org to find out more. That's GetVaccineAnswers.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Traveling all side. That's why my